very end of Parakei. End of Parakei says, the end of Parakei says, V'esanai ve'eiro, which we're going to read the Pesukim very quickly. I think the three Pesukim, Pasuk Tes, Parakei, Pasuk Tes, I lifted my eyes and I saw, V'hinei sh'dayim noshim yoitzoyz v'ruach b'chanfehem. I was witness of Kalman. I don't have an answer yet. I don't have an answer to your Pasuk. I don't have an answer.
Whenever.
Okay, I'm going to try again today. I was unsuccessful yesterday in making contact with the person. With the person that has the answer. Believe that they'll try again today. There were two of them were going forth and they had wind. Okay, so this vision, Zechariah beholds two Noshim, they're going forth, and the two Noshim have wind. They're going at a high velocity. And we describe their wings. The wings look like the wings of the Hachasida. These two Noshma lift up from the ground the Eifa. The Eifa is a measuring instrument. Bein Ha'aretz Bein HaShemayim. And it lifts up between the Aretz and the Shemayim, smack in the middle. And that's the end. That's the end of the vision. Where are they taking the Eifa? To build for it the Eifa, a bayis in the land of Shinar, v'huchan, it will be prepared, v'hunicha sham, it will be put there ad al mechunasa, upon its setting. Yesterday, we learned a few perushim as to what this means. Everyone, each one of the commentators is going l'shitosayu. The first thing we have to ask is, what is the Eifa? Is the Eifa simply represents punishment. Mida keneged mida. And if we use that approach, then the next question is, who is the punishment being meted out against? So according to the Mitzudois, it's referring back to what we learned before, the same people. To Klal Yisrael, to the survivors, meaning Yehuda and Binyamin, the Shevet of Yehuda and Binyamin, who have already suffered one round of exile. Now, in other words, the Churban Bayis occurred 70 years ago, and now these people refuse to return. By not returning to Eretz Yisrael, they are guilty of committing another Avera. And in punishment for committing that Avera, they are going to suffer more punishment. The Eifa, which is Mida Keneged Mida, is going to carry them to the land of Shinar, which basically is another part of Bavel. It's just an idea that you're going to suffer more. You think you've suffered, you're done with your suffering after you've experienced the Churban and the exile. Now that you refuse to return to Eretz Yisrael, you're stubborn, that is going to be the cause of a second round of suffering. Then we had the Radak. The Radak gave us the idea that we're now referring here. He reviews the entire series of Pesukim. The vision from the previous section was a reference to the Aseres Hashvatim. They suffered punishment. These Pesukim refer to the punishment of Yehuda and Binyamin. They will also suffer punishment. So this, according to the Radak, this section is not a second round of punishment to the same people. The previous section that mentioned punishment was the punishment that will come upon the, which is just a reference, it's just a review of the punishment that has come upon the Aseres Hashvatim. Now, in regard to Yehuda and Binyamin, there's going to be punishment as well, more punishment. They're going to have their own, but their punishment will not be as severe. Why not? Because they were not as evil. Yehuda, we learn according to the Radak, the greatest element of chait of the Aseres Hashvatim was they never even once considered doing teshuva. There were 20 kings. The era of the Malchus of Yisrael was a period of about 150 years, something like that, 150 years, which included 20 kings, and not even one of them was even one contemplated the possibility of doing teshuva. So just like you never decided to do teshuva, you never decided to return to me, likewise, Hashem says, I will not even consider allowing you to ever return back to the land.
Is the fault of the people or the malachim?
It's together. It's together. It goes together. Ein melech b'loy am. The king is influenced by the people. The people's the attitude of the people is what, to a very large degree, is what controls the king. Of course, you can have a very strong king that can go up, that can completely disagree with all the people and do whatever he wants. That's true, but eventually they'll get rid of him. You know, if the king, we look at the very end. The truth is, look at the very end. The very end of the Aseret HaShevatim. The last king was Hoshea ben Ela. Hoshea ben Ela did really try to do teshuva. So the Metzudos doesn't mention this, but he really did try. He took away the sentries on the road that prevented the people from going up to Yerushalayim. When the people saw that he was trying to do teshuva, they killed him. And when they killed him, they slandered to Ammon, to Mitzrayim. They made up a bilbo that he's rebelling against you. And then it was in Mitzrayim. I don't remember which nation it was. Ammon, Moav, Mitzrayim. They sent in the troops. To silence him, to lock him up, because the people did not want to do teshuva. They were already so heavily steeped in their sins, it was just impossible for them to be choizer b'shuva. So in any event, we have this is according to the parish of the Radak in the previous section when we learned about the Eifa being taken away. And we learned how there was an Evan Oferis, there was a stone of lead that's going to be thrust down the throat of this Isha. It's going to be stuffed down her throat. This refers to the fact that the Aseres HaShvatim are going to go into Golus and they're not going to ever return. Now, in this section, we are describing the Golus of Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda and Binyamin will also be sent into exile. They were sent into exile, but they are described standing ben hashamayim v'haretz. They're not. We don't find in regard to them the vision of a lead stone being thrust down their throat to anchor them and silence them permanently and prevent them from ever returning. We don't find that. We find them being lifted away, been carried to the land of Shinar, but they are suspended ben hashamayim v'haretz, which means they are nishtahi nishtaher. There's a hope they can return. The contrast between their punishment and the punishment of the Aseres HaShevatim is an indication that there's hope for them. They indeed may one day return back to Eretz Yisrael. Then we had the beautiful parish of Kalman. This really is out of the ballpark home run, where he told us in Darshan that this is a reference to the establishment of the Talmud Bavli, that even though we learned in the previous section that the Jews are going to be exiled into Bavel, but in Bavel, this psukim is coming to give us a silver lining. It's coming to give us some hope that in Bavel, these two nashim are going to pick up the Eifa, and then what is this? And he says his beautiful words according to the way he interprets this is Livnois Lavayis Be'eret Shinar. I'm carrying away the Torah. I'm carrying away the Eifa. I guess according to Rav Kalman, the Eifa is the Torah. It's true, because Torah is, what is Torah? Torah is instruction. Torah is law. It's law. That is what the Torah's emes. The Torah is the Torah of law. Emes, the scales are honest scales. I'm carrying away the Torah, which in this, according to Rav Kalman's parish, Rav Kalman Shiloini Al Sefer Zechariah says, what the Eifa is a marshal for the Torah HaKadosha. It's the law. The law, Torah is instructions. And it's MS. It's a law of measurements. It's accurate. It's MS. It's being taken to Bavel. It's being taken to Bavel. And what's gonna happen in Bavel? In Bavel, we're gonna build for it a bias. It's going to develop, it's going to thrive, it's going to evolve into Torah Shebal Peh. V'chuchan, it will be established.
You know what's the remez in the Torah? Ketuv v'yashlichem el eretz acheret kayom hazeh. And lamed rabati. Lamed ze limud.
Limud, lamed.
Where is the eretz acheret?
Talmud Bavli.
The limud. Ba'azinu.
Excellent.
V'yashlichem el eretz acheret kayom hazeh.
That's nitzavim.
Lamed rabati.
It's nitzavim.
Parash nitzavim. You can't argue with a Balkriya. You can't argue with an expert Balkriya. You gotta watch out. He can rattle off the whole Tanakh for us on the spot. No, you gotta be careful here. V'huchan, the Talmud will be established. V'hu nicha shami will be put there al mechunasa upon its setting. This beautiful pasuk darshan for asiyam hashas. You have to put this away in your suitcase.
You know, yeah. To what he said, because I liked it, because yesterday when you said it, I didn't interrupt, but it said, Hin tzedek v'yefas tzedek, yelochem. So it's a double lashon. I mean, why does he have to say Hin tzedek v'yefas tzedek? Maybe it's
Eifa. Eifa, excellent.
Talmud, but, right, I mean, that's...
He wants to say, the hin is the Talmud Yerushalmi.
It's the remez.
The right. Hin is the Talmud Yerushalmi, and the Eifa is the Talmud Bavli. Interesting, that's a very interesting idea. We have so many chidushim here coming out,
yeah.
like a fire hydrant of chidushim coming out of the koil here. Okay. Okay. So that's the third thing. Then we mentioned the targum, Well, let's learn Rashi. Rashi seemed to I don't know if this is correct, but Rashi seemed more on the tzad to say that the eifa is the plumb line. It's a measuring tool for construction. Not a measuring tool used in business to sell eggs and coleslaw and kishka and shalant. People, they say that, what are you afraid of the vaccine? Any from Jew who eats pcha, kishka, shalant has nothing to worry about. If you survive your whole life eating all of these foods, what could they possibly do to you by sticking a needle in your arm? I mean, come on, it's nothing. So, but in any event, according to the Rashi, it seemed to indicate that the Afar doesn't represent business weights, measurements used in business. Rather, it's referring to an instrument, a tool used in construction. To make sure that the building is secure, it's sound, it's level, it's not going to falter. And according to this interpretation, it seems Rashi is saying is that the Malach of Yer is saying that I'm taking the Jewish people into another land, and they're going to build a bias. They ain't going nowhere fast. They're going to settle down there for a very long time. That's very similar to what Yirmiyahu HaNavi told Klal Yisrael 70 years ago when they went to Bavel. People went to Bavel. They thought they're going back home the next day. They had so much emunah that this exile is so temporary that they did not even bother to rent to take care of themselves. We're going home back in a few days from now. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi told the people, settle down, buy houses, open up a pizza store, get permits to do construction, and settle down. You ain't going nowhere. You're going to be here for a very long time. You might as well get comfortable here. So, to a certain degree, isn't that quite Rashi doesn't say beferish, but that's but based on the Rashis that we learned the last week, and when we read over here, you get the theme from Rashi that Rashi over here is saying the Malach over here is saying that it's going to be a galus. L'chor is referring to the galus of the Bayis Sheni, the churm of the Bayis Sheni. Even though right now you're building the Bayis Sheni, but 420 years from now, welcome. Dennis, Shalom Aleichem. But 420 years from now, there's going to be another Churban. And that Churban, you're going to be in Golos for a very long time. Unfortunately, it's now been 1,951 years. Settle down. We're going to build a bias. You build yourself a home. You have neighborhoods. You have all these various communities and institutions in Golos. You're going to be here. Okay, then we learned the Targum. And the Targum, said that these two nations, that these you discussed the two Noshim, are he, the Targum's at the Chiddush that he contributed that no one else really mentioned was the swiftness, even though it's in the Pasuk, even though it says over here that it's the Ruach b'chanfeyem and the wings ha-chasida, he emphasized that there's going to be two Midinon, Golion. Who are the two Midinon? L'chora Yehuda and Binyamin. He's working with the approach the Radak has really taken from the Targum. He's taken the idea from the Targum that we're dealing with Yehuda and Binyamin, and they're going to go into exile. Who will exile them? An Amamin Kalilin, a nation that's very quick, swift, like we discussed, Schnell, right? That whole idea is going to exile them, Bekalilu, very swiftly, like and he mentioned an eagle, a Nesher, and that we discussed briefly. This is not what it said in Rashi, right? The Pasuk is HaChasidah. HaChasidah is not a Nesher. And Rashi, someone here mentioned this, but Rashi over here contradicts himself by saying that it's a Daya Levana. What's going on? Is it a Daya? Is it a Nesher? Is it a Chasida? These are all very different birds. And then to top it all off, Rashi says, oh, Balaz, it's a vulture. It's a vulture. So as if you didn't have enough confusion, so we have over here, is it a Nesher? A Chasida? A Daya Levana? A vulture. Already four translations for this word over here, the HaChasidah, that has wings of this V'lohena K'nafayim K'chanfei HaChasidah. I guess the reason why we have a right to say this is because it's very simple. The Pasuk here is not describing, there is no bird here. There are Noshim. It says here, Shtayim Noshim Yoitzos V'ruach B'chanfeiyem V'lohena K'nafayim. They have wings like the wings of HaChasidah. So we're describing Noshim. We're not describing the bird. We're just borrowing the wings that are Ki Kanfei HaChasidah. The creature here is not the Chasidah. The creature here are the Noshim. And these Noshim happen to have wings which are Kikanfei HaChasidah. So when all the Mefarshim talk, they talk about what's going to happen, and they're really describing the Isha to a degree. I mean, describing the wings. All right, let's leave it with that, whatever it is. But the Targum's focus is there's going to be a swift exile. And the only other point that we made over here in the Targum was that here there are two Noshim. There was only one Isha. And here we have two Noshim. We have two Noshim. Why? So he explains, doesn't really explain, is that the Chashivos of Yehuda and Binyamin demanded there be one Isha for each Shevet. Whereas the Aseres HaShvatim did not have that esteem in the eyes of Hashem. So when they went into exile, it was sufficient one. Now, this is really what we're up to. We just reviewed right now, in these few minutes, everything we learned yesterday. Now, we didn't actually finish the Radak. There are two more parts of the Radak, which I'm going to put on the screen. I'm going to put on the screen right now. And let's finish up this part of the Radak. Then we'll go do what we have not yet done. We'll do the Malbim. Okay. 761, here it is. Okay. And let's take a look over here at the Malbim. We're up to Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud in the Malbim. V'oimar, I said, Onohim Malichos. So if you have the articles on page 761, I put it on the screen. I hope you can see it, if you can. V'oimar, Onohim Malichos. Where are they taking the Eifa? The Loshal came a Mara Harishaina, Lefi Sharosha, Hoy Molichos, as Sabi Mehero, Masha Omar, Kianoshim, Hoy Molichos, as Masaifa. He points out that this question he did not ask in the first Mara. In the previous Mara, where the Eifa was also taken away, Zechariah did not ask the question. Why not? Because Sharohu, Shahoyu Molichos, as Sabi Mehero. So what? Just because they were taken away quickly, why couldn't he ask where it's going? I don't know. He doesn't explain. But that's an interesting point. There he did not ask, here he did ask. Umash Oma ki ha-noshim ha-yum al-licha sa'ifa. Reitz Allah, ma ki heima garmu yishayishalem ha-kel yitzbrach kimidah sam. when it says the Noshim were taking it away, they are the cause. Sheyishalem b'chal yisparach b'kibida sam to be punished midah k'neged midah, chilu amar hein maglis atzman. V'yonesim tier game, lo'on maglin yos amma d'havo nosvin v'yavin b'michlo d'shikra. Okay, let's first, so the Radak is implying something very important. The Noshim, who are the Noshim? The Noshim are Klal Yisrael. The Noshim are, in the understanding of the Radak, is Yehuda and Binyamin. They themselves, the person is the cause of his own punishment. You do yourself in. You've done yourself in. The Noshim, they are Yehuda and Binyamin. They will carry themselves off to their own exile. They are the cause, and they are the ones that will carry out their own punishment. Person does himself in. That's a very scary thing. And all the other Mefarshim didn't seem to say that. They seem to say that these Noshim are Malochim, are representatives. We had one of the Mefarshim that tells us why is this Mare mentioned in regard to Noshim, because the prophecy was coming to an end. This was the last Tekufa of Nevuah. And as Nevuah came to an end, the vision, the intensity was much weaker. The bandwidth was diminished. You no longer had fiber optics. You no longer had cable. You were back, remember the DSL? Not even that, you're back to telephone wires. Remember all the emerging technologies? When internet first started, you called them on the telephone. Remember those, you called on the telephone? Made all those funny noises, AOL? And then, there's something called DSL, right? So they used your telephone wires to give you more bandwidth. And then that was gone. And then came cable, and now fiber optics, and then wireless. Wireless. So when the Vua now there's 5G, when the Vua comes to an end.
So I guess they only had 1G left.
Right, exactly. Even less than 1G. They had just telephone wires that don't even work anymore, that are all broken. Now when the Vua is coming to an end, the bandwidth was being diminished little by little. And that is why this Mare is shown to Zechariah with Noshim, two Noshim, because Noshim are weak. Don't tell that to women. But Noshim physically have been considered to be weak, weaker than men. That's why it said Noshim. That's not what the Radak says here. Radak here says the Noshim represent the embodiment of Klal Yisrael. There are two Noshim. One is Keneged Yehuda, one Binyamin. This is, they will carry themselves to their own punishment. That's
yes, but the nation is in a weakened state.
Okay, that's so they call Noshim.
I mean, it's this is a frequent
use in the Kinois. Yirmiyahu Navi,
you find this all over the place when something is in a weaker state or inferior to something else that's superior.
But on the other hand, Isha Yisaviv Gover, Chazal said that in times of Mashiach, Noshim will prevail. They're going to call the shots. Isha Yisaviv Gover. So
still a man's world, sort of.
Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka. Was there ever a female vice president? She the first one? I don't remember. Is she the first one, Harris? The first time there's a female.
First time.
Yeah? So you see, we're living over here. It was the Mashiach.
That's the first nominee.
No.
Which is,
it was Geraldine.
Rabbi Chol is correcting me that she's not.
She's the third nominee.
Michal is correcting me that it has not yet happened. It's not yet official. Holding out hope. We're still holding. I don't know what we're holding on to anymore. I don't know what straw.
I'm not writing about any Biden regime until it actually.
Okay, we're still hoping for some miracle. I don't know what miracle we're hoping for, but it ain't over yet, right? Whatever that means. But in any event, you know, it's not so partial. We're living over here. That's what Chazal say. Esther, the last miracle was Purim. How did it come about from? Esther Hamalka. Esther Malka. So you see that Ibix the Mashiach, there is a certain koyach that Noshim, you see in the world today, women today are basically equal to men in the world to a very large degree, like never before, in real significant ways. Then this is a chazal. Chazal say, Isha Yisoyviv Gover, which means a woman goes around a man. Okay, that we use that idea by a chasna, that's the makor, by a wedding, the kala goes around the chasan, but it also alludes to Yemos HaMashiach, where there will be a woman will have more have power. In any event, we go now over here to the next. Vayomer, we go, and now he quotes over the Targum over here says that the michlus of the shikra. This goes back to what we said before, the false weights. Okay, that the Eifa represents corruption. Next, Vayomer, Eilai, Livnos, Labais, Verit, Shinar, Law. Okay, Law Rafa, Hahev, Zer, Shalach, Lachem, Yirmi, Hanavi, Aruchahi, exactly what we said before. The Golos is long. You're going to be here for a very long time. Settle down. Binu Vatim, build homes, Voshevu, and settle down. So according to this interpretation, you would say that the Eifa is the measuring, the tool used for construction. Build for yourself homes, live nice. Now, why is law not a mapike? Law means for her. Live nice, no, I don't know. I don't know. Let's leave that for now. V'huchan, next. V'huchan v'hunicha sham al mechunasa. This bias will be established, will be prepared, and will be put down delicately on mechunasa, upon its base, upon its setting. There's so many words here. So many words. V'huchan, this preparation. V'hunicha, that has a connotation of a delicate placement. Not just to throw it down. There's precision. Where, there, sham, there. The word sham always means precision. Don't just throw it anywhere. With detailed precision, al mechunasa, its setting, its base. Every single one of these words, there are four words here in this pasuk, which really are powerful words. Each one of these words connotes an intense degree of thought, preparation, and planning. This is not an accident. And that is so, so important for us to know. That when we are in Golos, we should not think, oh, we're in Golos, so Hashem, you know, he's out to lunch, he's on a coffee break until we do Teshuvah and return to Eretz Yisrael. You want to have Hashkocha Pratis? You want to have a connection to Hashem? You got to go to Eretz Yisrael. You're not going to get that in Brooklyn, right? You have to go to Eretz Yisrael. Uzahav Eretz Ahi Toiva. That's where the gold is. That's where the spirituality is. That's where you can connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Golos, it's for the birds. No, that is a terrible, terrible mistake. And here there's a pasuk to prove it. Here, when this pasuk describes the long, bitter Golos of Klal Yisrael, it says four very powerful words. V'huchan, there is preparation. There is v'hunicha. Hunicha means she will be put in place delicately. Sham is a word which also means precision. Where al mechunasa, upon its setting. These four words teach us that everything that we have in Golos is behashkocha protis, down to the very last detail. Don't think Kodesh Baruch Hu is not present among us here. Now, v'huchan. Now he goes on to explain v'huchan. Moishavam sham. Their dwelling will be there. Kaloimar. This means to say, shabanu sham batim v'kavu yeshiva sham. And they established their dwelling there. If you want to be a darshan, you'll say yeshiva sam means they built Torah institutions. They built yeshiva university. They built yeshiva Torah Vadas. They built near Yeshiva. Chaim Berlin. Kavu Yeshiva Sam Sham. Chevron. They built, what happened to Chevron? There's no Yeshiva. Yeshiva Sam Sham. The Adayin Hu Nicha Sham. It's still there. Now he learns over here the word Vuhu Nicha. He adds in a word to explain this unusual grammatical form of the word. The Adayin Hu Nicha Sham Al Mechunasa. Okay, that one word changes the entire meaning of the pasuk according to the Radak. Kiloimar. It's the most favorite word on page. Kloimar. Whenever it says Kloimar, it's like you're going to the great adventures and they're putting you on a roller coaster and taking you for a ride that you did not expect. It's not, anytime it says Kloimar, it's not, you don't expect to see something that you would never ever read into the pasuk. You're going to inject into the pasuk foreign matter. Foreign matter does not appear in the pasuk. Kloimar. Hachanosha. He is learning the pasuk here as an explanation for your punishment. Do you know why you're suffering? It's because when you were there, you built batim unetias kramim nisatzlu la'alois mibavel. He learns that because they spent so much time and effort and money to settle down in Bavel, they don't want to go back. They don't want to return. Asher nish'aru achar shol Ezra. That's why they remain put after Ezra went up. V'loy rotzu la'alois. They don't want to go. Af achar shechelu livnos habayis. V'hu nicha mila murkevesi. This word v'hu nicha is a word, it's a composite. Min hinicha mibinyan hifol. The word hinicha to put down, hifol, to cause to put down. V'huncha mibinyan hufal, past tense, that it was put down. It's a very strange word. It means to cause, and it means it was in the past tense. It was put down. Where do you find such a word? V'tam harkava. Why do we graft? Why do we merge these two words together into this new word we've never heard before? Ki mitchila kishagolsa sham huncha sham v'shloiki ritzayna. It's teaching you a principle. Originally, we were put in Bavel against our will. We never, ever, ever wanted to be here. We never intended to be in Bavel. It was extremely painful to be exiled and put in this land, deposited in this land. But you know what happened? The achar kach, after we were there a small amount of time, we got very comfortable. And we decided, you know what? It's not so bad after all. And now we decided, let's stay put. Let's go nowhere. V'achaka chinicha sham hi atzma. K'loimar b'ritzoyna ikva sham. V'nis'atzla lalas el Yerushalayim. The Yonasim Tir game, now, so, before we go further, this is incredible. This one word, v'hu nicha, which is not even a real word. I mean, this is really something that is shocking to make up words in Tanakh. Do you have another precedent for this? Where you can do such a thing? This is something that's good for a python. A python from the 11th, 12th century would do something like this and then be banned. And then all of a sudden you would have a whole team of other pythonim that would discredit his license of piyut. How can you make up words and change the grammar and manipulate things? They would go berserk. People who do things like this, who take the Hebrew language, and this really, this modern Hebrew, by the way, modern Hebrew is really no different. Modern Hebrew is you take biblical words. And
I understand what this means. There is a binyan hifil ve binyan hufal. Binyan hifil ze pa'il.
Of course.
Binyan hufal ze savil, like kal ve nifal. And this is the same one, hifil hufal.
Of course, hifil is the cause. Hufal means it happened. You are the recipient.
To remain, to accept it. So the good condition that they had there caused them to be put down
right.
and rest and not going away.
Right.
That's what.
And it's an amazing because this is a topic which has really occupied the Mefarshim to extremes. The difference between a ghetto life in Poland. In Poland, most Jews lived a ghetto life. They lived in a ghetto. They lived completely isolated from the Goyim. Had absolutely nothing to do with a secular culture. They knew nothing. They spoke their own language. They lived in their own world. They had nothing to do with the Goyim. As long as you pay taxes, the Goyim even gave the Jews autonomy at certain tekufas. Then you have Spain. Okay, the Jews of Spain. And you have the German Jews, where they lived not the same, the Spanish Jews in different periods of time of history, but these Jews, they viewed it to be part of Avodas Hashem to participate in the secular culture. Okay, you daven three times a day, Yeshayim Shabbos, but there's what Chochma Bo'amim Tamin. There's what to appreciate, there's what to absorb, and there's what to experience in the secular world. And there's always been this very big debate, which approach is the will of Hashem? What does Hashem want from us? On the one hand, you can say, we have Torah, we have everything that we need, we have in the Torah. We don't need to be participants with the Goyim. And Adrabah, if we become participants, we're going to be damaged. We're going to be injured. It's going to dilute our sanctity. It's extremely dangerous. On the other hand, other people will say, no, this is the purpose. The purpose is to be an Or Lo Amim. Klal Yisrael should be there to enlighten them, and they have what to offer. We can take things that they have, and we can use those things, L'Avodas Hashem. And that obviously has advantages and has very great dangers. Okay, the great danger is, you know, of course, the worst is when they overcome us, assimilation, and Jews just completely forget about where they are. This is the very, very big debate. And this one word here, v'hu nicha, says it all. This one word here says, you're living amongst the Goyim, and you got used to it, and you decided, you know what? Let's stay here. Let us give up, basically, what we really should be doing. What we really should be doing is going to Eretz Yisrael and doing what Hashem said. Hashem says, I gave you the Holy Land. That's where you belong. You don't belong here. And it's because of your getting used to it. You're getting used to your surroundings. This has now caused you damage. This one word, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing because, like we said, it's not a real word. It's not a real word. It's a word that is a composite of two words. You don't get that in Nach. You don't get that type of, it doesn't happen too often. Words are pure. Words are, you know, they're not manipulated. And even the translation of a word usually cannot be defined. A word usually is based upon its context. We take the Shoroshim and we have a basic concept, but the details of that concept, what the word precisely means, will depend upon the context. To go take two different words and merge them into a sophisticated word which brings out a concept, that's a very rare thing. And it affects us to such, because this is the struggle that we have in Golus. In America, are we in the Geder V'hu Nicha? I think so. I think 95% of Jewish historians would say that America has made us into this thing called V'hu Nicha. No one, they don't see the majority of the Americans running to Eretz Yisrael today. They're very calm. They built up institutions. They've devoted their lives to what we have here in America. And we're very happy. And we fool ourselves in thinking that, listen, we want to go to Eretz Yisrael. We just got on a plane. You get on a plane, you're there in 12 hours. You buy the Kosel HaMaravi. So it's Ki'ilu, we're in Eretz Yisrael. That's a pathetic excuse. That's a pathetic excuse. So are there any really good answers? I'm talking to myself. Are there any good answers? No, not really. What is the final analysis? This one word, this one unique word, v'hu nicha. It's a word made up mibinyan hifil, v'huncha mibinyan chufal. A harkava, grafted two words, ki mitchila kishagolsa sham huncha. We had nowhere to go. Okay, the persecution of Jews was so horrible. This was the only place that would take us in. Shaloi kiritzayna. This is not where we wanted to be. When we came to America, we were thrown out of Europe, thrown out of Poland, thrown out of Russia. We were thrown out of everywhere. This is the only country that was willing to take us in. And now we're here for how many years? 100 years, more or less, whatever it is. Now, there's a state of Israel. Anyone who wants can make aliyah. And you can go, and today, Baruch Hashem, the economy is not all that bad. If you really want to find a job, you can find a job there. If you want to survive, you can survive. People were meiser nefesh for a lot less. So why don't we want to go? Excuses. Excuses. Okay, v'hu nu necha. You know, I always say that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, a lot of the Gedolei Yisrael about 30, 40 years ago, advised their students not to go to Eretz Yisrael. And they said to them then, because it's a land of extremes. It's not, they felt, in Eretz Yisrael, now this is about 40 years ago, it's a land of extremes. If you're part of the Haredi, if you're a religious Jew, what does it mean to be a religious Jew in Eretz Yisrael? You're an extremist. That's really, there's an extreme. That's what happened to all of the religious Jews. And then those that were not so religious, they became basically secular Jews. There was nowhere in between. And many of the Gedolei Yisrael felt that's not healthy. America was unique in that it offered a person an opportunity to be somewhere in the middle, to gradually find yourself. Now you have to ask yourself, that may have been true 40 years ago. Okay, this is a fact. A lot of Gedolim said this. That was 40 years ago. What would they say today? Is it the same today? You can't say it's the same today. You definitely cannot say it's the same today. So what's
still
the
no encouragement to go?
No, there's no yet. There are no Gedolim today, unfortunately. There's no one today. We don't have leaders. If you notice, we don't look up to anyone today. We don't really have anyone that we're afraid of, that tell us things that we obey. We don't have that today. Years ago, 40 years ago, people were scared of these people. The people were scared of Moshe, and they were really scared of him. They were scared of Yaakov Kamenetsky. They really were scared of Rav Rudiman. There were large groups of people that were frightened, that were scared of them. And when they told them to do things, they did it. They listened, they obeyed, they were obedient. Today, there's no one that we're afraid of. Not afraid of anyone today. You tell me this, I'll do whatever I want. Don't tell me what to do. But to go and rely today on statements that were made 40 years ago is not fair. It's not true. The conditions on the ground today are very different. Very different than they were 40 years ago. So it's true, there were some very legitimate concerns 40 years ago, and these were the Gedolei Yisrael, and they saw firsthand, and they knew it was not for everyone. Not everyone is ready for you know, it's a certain type of life. Today it's not true. Today you see plenty of people that you can't even tell if they're an American or an Israeli. It's all the same. We live in the global village. And it's all the same today, to a degree. And it's interesting that you read this pasuk and you come to the word v'hu nicha, the musar that leaps off the page is very powerful. It's very powerful. The pasuk, the Navi even went so far to invent a new word to bring out the point. All right, there we have the Yonah Son tier game. Yeah.
Rabbi Levine?
Yeah.
It's interesting that although this pasuk refers to Golas in this terminology, right, that in Musaf, I guess, of Yom Tov, we have similar terminology referring to the Beis HaMikdash. The Harenu Bevinyono Samchenu Behoch, I'm sorry, Bechonein Mikdoshka Al Michono.
Exactly. We mentioned this yesterday. Was it you who mentioned this yesterday? Someone mentioned exactly this yesterday. Exactly. That the same exact terminology that's been used is Musar. Look at what's happening to you. You're going into Golus. We're taking these exact same words and trying in the Nusach HaTefillah. We're using them as inspiration for the Geula. Exactly. The Harenu Bevinyon of Samchenu Besikun of Yoshev Kainim. We use those same exact terms. Exactly. And you can very likely say, I mean, you'd have to know Tanakh inside out, that those terms are taken from Nach. So we're very fortunate. We have three people in the room. Look at this. Four people in the room. We have Mr. Elman, Mordechai Bidenstock, and Rabbi Sperling. Three people are now in the room. This is all we had before, three people. Almost a record. Myself, we have four people in the room. So Baruch Hashem, maybe it's a good sign. All right, so we have over here, you're right, we always mention this. This is something that one of my favorite things about Rav Chaim Kanievsky is he is able to trace every single word in the Nusach HaTfilo to a Pasuk in Tanakh. He has incredible mastery of Tanakh. And in this Nusach, and they have a lot of things, they sit with him the whole day, and anything that comes out of his mouth, they put into a book eventually. And there are a couple of things, a couple of sefarim on tefillah, where people ask him questions, and a lot of that stuff that's in the book is, where did this Nusach, where did Chazal get this word from? Why did they use this particular expression? And on the spot, he says, well, go look in Chagai, Perik this, Pasuk that, go look in this Sefer, and you look at it, and you read the context, you read the whole Perik, and you see the word, and you see how the words are used, and you look at the Bracha, and a light bulb goes off. Like, wow, now everything makes sense. Everything makes sense. You really cannot understand the Nusach HaTefillah unless you know the entire Tanakh backwards and forwards. And here is a very good example. The Nusach HaTefillah in the Shalosh Regalim, V'hochein Mikdosh, V'hochein Mikdoshcha Al Mechoinoi, possibly it comes from this. The same way that in Golus we have been exiled, and we're using this terminology, and we have to understand why this terminology, that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah extracted and flipped other way around, that instead of it being the Golus, it should be L'Geula. It should be for redemption. Okay, the Targum over here goes, but Targum Yonis over here is something that is very different, which is probably the excuse everyone uses not to make Aliyah. And we discuss this many, many times. We're not going to repeat it, go broken record. V'yonis Santirgim v'amar li, Hashem said to me, le'iska na'o lo'hoin asar b'mdinas bavel. This is exactly similar. This is a parallel to Yirmiyahu. Hashem told me, go buy for yourselves. Purchase. Don't rent. You're going to be here a long time. It's not a good idea to rent. You might as well purchase. Buy a place, asar, a mokoim. B'medinas Bavel, v'yis'akvu, you will delay, v'yis'acharun tamon, you will be there, you will delay and tarry there, ad, now look at this, these are the words which have caused us a lot of confusion, d'yimte zimnehoin, until your time comes. So we're still waiting. Okay, we're still waiting. This approach is, do nothing. Mashiach will come out of the sky on a white horse. Okay, so this is the total opposite approach of taking the bull by the horns. This is the approach of sit back, do nothing, and wait until it just happens by itself. So this is I'm telling you, this is an approach that for generations many of our ancestors adopted. They did not take an active role to push the process along for many reasons. Many reasons. Most of the time, it was because they didn't have the option. They didn't have the opportunity. But even when there is opportunity, many people were very hesitant because of this principle of you wait until it's obvious that Hashem wants you to return. Okay, that concludes the Radak. Let's learn a little bit over here. Let's learn just to start off a little bit of the Malbim. Let me put on the page on the screen the Malbim. The Malbim is on.
As you know, I mean, I'm sure you looked at all the. I mean, a few of the Mepharshim discussed the fact that there are three places that don't have a Mapik K.
Oh, I don't look. No, yeah.
You see the Baal Turim and the Mincha Shai.
Yeah.
And it mentions Vayikrola Novach Bishmo, and in Rus also Vayom Elah by Boaz. And it's interesting because I looked in the Targum on Vayikrola Novach Bishmo, the Targum puts a Mapikei in the word law.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But the Mincha Shai says no. But Livna is law of Vayis. All right, I don't know. He doesn't.
I mean, in the Targum Onkelis in Bamidbar, in Matos,
right.
It says Vayikra Lo Novach Bishmo,
yeah.
In Mato, he puts a mapike on the word law where the Chumash does. It's interesting.
Yeah.
The Balatur gets into right. Some. The
Balatur
mentioned something.
Right, interesting. Okay, I don't know why. I don't. So Shloim Iskaimul Hashem Zeh.
And in Rus Rabbah, this is discussed.
All right, maybe afterwards we'll look at this. Okay, afterwards maybe we'll go back. Very good, you pointed this out. I appreciate your point. It's very important. Okay, Belin Eder, we'll come back to this when we finish the Malbim. Okay, I wanted to start for a few minutes the Malbim. Let me put it up on the screen. Here it is. Here is the Malbim. After the Malbim, we'll take a look at the Vayikra law, the fact that there's no Mapikain in Shinar. Here's the Malbim on the screen. If you have the article page, it's on page. The article, it's on page 759. I lifted up my eyes. He has a whole new mahalach in this sugya. We'll call it a sugya. So if you remember, we just finished learning that the Shtei Noshim were Klal Yisrael themselves. They themselves did. The Noshim are the embodiment of Yehuda and Binyamin. They will do themselves in. According to this interpretation, and then we learned before, the similar understanding is the Malachim. These are angels of Hashem that are being dispatched to do Hashem's will, to bring the Jewish people into exile. But according to the Malbim, Shezoi, based on the Gemara Masechta Kiddushin, Chanufa v'gasoi saruach, flattery and arrogance. Okay, two midois, Chanufa v'gasoi saruach. What is Chanufa? We always say Chanufa means to put value on nonsense. Okay, and that is very, very important. When you overvalue something that is pure nonsense, that's called chanuf. We always say flattery. What is flattery? You praise someone more than they deserve. It's more than that. What your person gives a speech. The speech he gave was total nonsense. It was apikorsis. It was foolishness. And yet you say to this fellow, wow. I never, my whole life, heard such a brilliant speech. I remember very clearly. This made me sick when Obama delivered his inaugural address when he was elected as the president of the United States 12 years ago. I remember that. So he gave his speech. He spoke for a very long time, and they had these commentators, these liberal left-wing commentators, after he finished his. Inaugural address in front of the White House when he was sworn in as President of the United States, these left-wing liberal they were saying, in the history of the United States, There was never, ever such an address given, and they were describing all the famous. I'm not familiar with the whole American history, all the different famous speeches, and he was saying this was better than Lincoln, better than Washington, better than this one, better than that one, and they were going on and on and on, and my stomach turned. I got sick. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What kind of nonsense is this? This is Chanufa. When you take nonsense, or you take something that has a very little value, and you elevate it, you give it more value than it really has. That is called Chanufa. Gasa Saruach is arrogance. Shayar de Lubava, Utsanulama, Shaha Shirah, Shanismoch Efa Vachal Minos Vizodava the Zara. So this incredible historical analysis of the world. The Malbim is his expertise, world history, and not just world history. It's trends in values, the values that people and societies have from the beginning of time to the end of time. How different values they come and go, and for generations. There was Avodah Zarah, the worshipping of idols. And we learned yesterday, the day before, according to the Malbim, what is the primary Avodah Zarah? The primary Avodah Zarah is to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. I acknowledge this intelligent design, but Hashem is gone. He left town. Now, today in the public school system, they don't talk about these things because there's no more public schools anymore. Public schools are shut down, right? So instead of fighting about what they're going to teach in public schools, now they fight if there's school altogether, right? You don't have to fight about what to teach. First, talk about if there's school altogether. But it used to be in the olden days when there was something called public school, they would fight, what are they going to teach? And evolution is a very big issue. It's still a very big issue in society. And there's a new curriculum called intelligent design. That's a whole new curriculum. Intelligent design. What is evolution? Evolution versus intelligent design. Do they go together? Do they not go together? But guess what? Intelligent design is the real apikorsis. Because to deny that, to go say that man came from a monkey is just foolish. And even the goyim deep down in their hearts know, to go tell children that you come from monkeys is counterproductive. And it's just, they're not so stupid to believe that. So if you tell someone that you come from a monkey, you're only shooting yourself in the foot. Then you are going to discredit. You're going to discredit your license as an educator to tell someone a lie. So what have they discovered? This is what the Malbim says. Don't say that you come from a monkey. Acknowledge there is intelligent design. There's something that we do not know that has brought this world into existence. But whatever that force is, it's gone. It's out to lunch. It's disappeared. And now you do whatever you want. That is even a greater, in my opinion, is even a greater form of apikorsis. Because the Malbim says, In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, what were they fighting with? No one denied the existence of that this world came into by intelligent design. It can't be. It just cannot be. Cannot be where we see the complexity of everything around us. It just can't be. But what do we all struggle every single day, every single moment with? Where is Hashem? Where did he go? You created us, and we don't sense you're here. Tzadik v'raloi. There are so many painful things that happen in this world. How does the Creator, who brought in this complex world into existence, how does he just let all of these people suffer so much? That's the struggle. The apikorsis is to acknowledge the world was created with an intelligent design by a God, but God has left. He's no longer in this galaxy. He went somewhere else. That was the form of the Tzar in the time of the Bayis Sheni, and that today is really what intelligent design is all about. Intelligent design does not address in the public school system Hashkocha Pratis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively involved in this world. That is not part of the curriculum. The curriculum is that this world was created through an intelligent being beyond our understanding. And that's it. Gone. That's MS. But the problem is that MS leads into the ultimate kafira. And what happened to that being? Gone. That is much more appealing to a person than to say to them that you come from a monkey. You tell a person you come from a monkey, they say, no, we didn't. And therefore, everything you say is wrong. It must be there's a God, and in God we trust. In God we trust. God we trust means God is present. He's at the table. You recite grace after you eat. Okay? If there is a God, the natural result is in God we trust. Currently, if you want to say intelligent design, yeah, design, but not trust. Now it's dangerous. Intelligent design is dangerous in what it leaves out. It only discusses the design, and the implication is nothing more. And this is exactly what it says was the Yitzra Davoy Dezara. That's what the Yitzra Davoy Dezara that we learned last week. The Chadal HaMinus, the Yitzra Davoy Dezara. That was Minus of the Dezara. The Rodavar Sheshkula Kavaritz Dezara, Shenivitz Sabinehem. Now, when that was bottle, there was a void. What took over the void? Ooh, we got a bigger problem on our hands. We have Chanifa, and Gaiva. V'sachas ha'isha ha'achas she'yosher secho eifa. The whole mahalach, and instead of this one woman that was in the eifa, which has now been obliterated, we put a stone of lead in her throat to silence her yetzer d'avodah zara. Ro'ah shtei nashim. So what took her place? Two women took her place. V'heima chanufa, flattery, sheze shakul kavodah zara, al yidei sheni aseh kol ma'asav b'tzvius, be a faker. Lachanoif bochem, to flatter, sheze mishtatev b'avodah asai, chamoy shakas v'chavis halavavis, flattery means you serve Hashem and you serve man. You flatter man. Man is the one that can help you. It's it's another form of idolatry. Flattery is you give power to a human being. A human being is a nothing, and when you elevate him to an authority that has power, That is flattery. And that is denial that Hashem can help. Instead of Hashem helping you, this person will solve all your problems. All right, we're out of time. We have to go over here and do tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll do the Gasas Ruach. But this is very interesting how he learns over here a whole new mahalach in this pasuk that the Isha Achas was replaced with two Nashim. Sounds like a horror movie. Horror movie, you have a very big problem, and the whole storyline is to eliminate the problem. And by eliminating the problem, you create even bigger problems. Always sticks out of my mind the story of my grandmother. My grandmother, she worked for the Beis Yaakov. She was the secretary in the Beis Yaakov. She was the only secretary. She did everything. In those days, there were no computers. She did everything by hand. All the records were done on books and file cabinets. And then in the early 80s, she retired. And when she retired, as she was retiring, they were computerizing the Beis Yaakov in Borough Park. They brought in PCs, and when she retired, they replaced her with four people, because they needed four people to enter the data and to control the computers. We think that computers eliminate jobs. When her job was eliminated, when she retired from doing things by hand, they needed four people to replace her to do everything with the computer. So you think you solve one problem with technology, you only add more problems. Okay, we will continue this in Yirtzeh Hashem. Tomorrow we'll take a very short break, and then we will learn more about Chanukah. And maybe today, in addition to some halacha, we'll learn a little machshava as well. We'll be back in a few moments.